Blog Talk Radio.
California. All right.
Well, that was a glitchy start. This is Michael Vandervoort, and it is Tuesday, April 27th, and we're continuing a drive-through SHRM partnership with a show that is aimed at SHRM National, the 2016 SHRM Expo and Conference. I forget their exact title in Washington, D.C. And we have a couple of guests from SHRM today, Letty Klutz and Jennifer Ronowitz, who are going to talk with us about some of the things that are important for attendees at the conference to know before you go, and some of the speakers that will be there at the conference, and that will be bringing some of the really great content that SHRM provides. So, Letty and Jennifer, welcome to Drive Through. Thanks for being on today. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves to our listeners and give a quick bio of what you do for SHRM?
Sure. Thanks, Mike. This is Letty Klutz. I am the Director of Conference Programming Development for SHRM. And that's just really a fancy way of saying that I oversee all of the content at the annual conference. So from selecting the keynote speakers to the master series, mega sessions and concurrent sessions, as well as the pre-conference workshops, I am the person that puts all of that together.
Go ahead.
That's fine. Hey, this is Jennifer Ronowitz, and I am the meetings manager here at SHRM, and I am responsible basically for all things logistics, so anything from hotels and shuttle buses to food and beverage and registration and making sure that we're getting people to the right places, signs, decor, all those kinds of nuts and bolts that keep the trains moving.
Wow. So I also plan conferences, and I have a hard time herding all the cats for 350 people that will be in Orlando in a couple weeks. How in the world do you manage 15,000 plus or whatever it comes? I mean, how many people actually work on a SHRM conference?
Well, just about everybody. It touches almost everybody in the organization. And, of course, this year we're really excited, kind of being in our own hometown. We have a unique opportunity to utilize a lot more staff than when we go on the road. So we're very excited about all of our staff members having an opportunity to go to the conference and to, you know, work a shift. We also, mm-hmm. of course, have a large volunteer force that we use every year. So we're very grateful to those local chapter members who are signing up to, you know, host a session or be a wayfinder. And I think that is really kind of the secret for us. It gives it a really personal experience. If we're doing our job correctly, everyone thinks that the, you know, our SHRM member volunteers are the ones that plan the conference. So, and that's the way we like it, behind the scenes and have those folks facing out towards the attendees and helping them find their way.
Yeah, well, this will be I'm going to be on the blog team, which is I've done for a number of years, and which is really great opportunity for, you know, practitioners to get a chance to interact with SHRM at the show. But this will be actually I've been to SHRM Legislative, and I was just at SHRM Talent, and so I'm going to hit the national show, and then I think I'll have fulfilled, you know, 3/4 of the Grand Slam of SHRM. By that first half of the year. Both the early shows, Legislative and Talent, were fantastic. I hadn't been to Talent in a while, and it was really a good conference, even with all the human capital conferences and talent management conferences that are out there right now. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to get a couple of silly. Maybe they're not silly, but they're off the script of what we really are on to talk about. So a couple just quick questions, and I don't think they'll put you on the spot, but like for example with selecting the keynotes, I mean, you guys always have big names. Can you just tell us quickly kind of how you do that? And what, you know, I mean, there's got to be an art to it, right? How do you pick who people, 15,000 people want to listen to?
Yeah, it's, you know, this, it's not without its challenges, as you can imagine, but, you know, we're fortunate enough to work with some of the premier agencies who represent the speakers. So we're, we have really good relationships with them, which allows us to tap into, into some of the big names that we are fortunate enough to get at our conference. So as you said, there's an art and a science to it. You know, we try to balance some, you know, name recognition with content. And so really every day does have a purpose and a theme, if you will. So without getting into too much nuance, that really helps drive our strategy when we're looking at bringing in, a diverse perspective for messages that are going to resonate with our audience. And I'll use one example, and that's with our Tuesday keynoters with Paul Begalia and Tucker Carlson. You know, this year, as Jen mentioned earlier, you know, we're in Washington, D.C., and as we are all very, very aware, we are in an election year. And so we wanted to bring in two speakers who could talk and really, and in some ways, prognosticate about what's going to happen and the impact that this could have on our members. So that's just one example of a strategy that we use when we look at, you know, where we are, what's going on that would resonate with what people want to hear about.
Yeah, and I saw those guys at SHRM Legislative last year. They were, I think, a lunch keynote or a morning keynote, and they were great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that in an election year. They should be hysterical.
They have a lot of material.
no doubt, and you can tell when you saw that they do this together a lot. So they have a great a great rhythm too. It's kind of I don't want to betray my age. It's not Lewis and Martin, but you know anyway. It's funny. The other one. This is the silly question, and you know, like ever since, going back to the infamous scheduling of Hall and Oates in the social media world. The music that gets picked for the Tuesday night event, who's are you also responsible for that?
It's really a group effort, if you will, but Jen really is instrumental in getting them selected and securing them. So I'm going to toss that over to her.
As you can imagine, we do a lot of brainstorming about the entertainment and who might be available. And we do work with a great group of people who kind of help us source that. This year in particular, we kind of came up with a long list and threw it out to a variety of folks here at the office of, you know, a wide demographic, if you will, and kind of got some input and came up with our top three. And then after that, you know, it's really just kind of based on availability. And so that's how we secured Train. We're very excited. I think everybody probably knows that Hey Soul Sister song. And I think Train's one of those groups where you're like, I don't think I know much of their music, but when you start to hear them, you're going to recognize a lot of familiar tunes. And I think they're just going to be really dynamic in that setting.
I've never actually gone to a Tuesday night event. I always wind up doing something. It's not because I don't like the music. I mean, I would have really liked to have seen Sheryl Crow, and Train is all right in my book, and you know a few others. But there's so much to do at a SHRM conference that sometimes by the end of that day, it's easier to just go to a dinner somewhere than it is to go into that giant space and put up with that crowd, at least for me. But I thanks for answering those kind of off script questions. There it's funny how much discussion a musical selection for an entertainer can solicit on social media from a professional organization. It's unbelievable. And everybody has an opinion, pro or con, I guess. So I always had this idea that Hank probably just came in and said, like Train, let's go with that. Not the case. So
we have just as many opinions here as I'm sure the outside world does.
Yeah, no doubt. And some are rolling their eyes and others are clapping their hands, right? Exactly. So let's get into what we were really going to talk about. But I do appreciate you giving those little insights. So I guess the first place to start is probably what you need to know, especially I think if you're a first-time attender, but I know every time I go, even if it's in cities that I've been to before, there are logistics that have changed, that kind of thing. So What should SHRM attendees know before they go? Let's go down that path first.
I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of things that they should know before they go. And let me first say that you're talking to two planners at heart. So we are probably on the one extreme of the spectrum as far as really sort of doing our research and coming prepared before we go to a conference. But that's something that I would really stress to first-time attendees is to take the time before you get there to read the material that SHRM sends ahead of time because, I mean, as you know, and anyone, honestly, who's been to a SHRM annual conference before, it can be a very overwhelming experience. We have a very large footprint whenever we go to a city, and so it can be extremely overwhelming for a first-timer, especially for the first-timers who are traveling by themselves. So, you know, some of the things that we do, and I'm sure people have been getting the Daily Digest, but reaching out in the community and trying to find your tribe before you go, there have been a lot of connections being made on the community, whether it's meeting up by industry or doing fun stuff to go to to go shopping or have a spa day or what have you. But it's really nice to make connections with people before you go so that you sort of have a friend when you get there. The other thing I would mention is to really is to utilize the technology that SHRM has in place. The session planner is something that's on the website so that you can actually customize and personalize your experience and plan out everything that you want to go to. That's something that I really think helps take a lot of the stress out. So knowing, okay, on Monday I want to go to these sessions, I need to be here at this time. The other thing I'll share, because again, I think a lot of people are confused or can be confused about where things are taking place. So we are at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center and the Marriott Marquis, which is right next door to the Convention Center. So we're actually in two separate yet connected locations, if you will. And so that I think that's helpful for people to know, A, where they're going. I think that knowing that there are several airports in the area that they can go to, but something that's really cool this year, and I'm not going to steal Jen's thunder, so I'm going to have her talk about that in just a moment, that has to do with registration. But knowing that, you know, DCA, for those that have been around a long time, that's National Airport, Reagan National Airport is the closest airport. Dulles and BWI are within vicinity, but a little bit further away. So I think just knowing, having all the information you need to make your stay enjoyable, and DC has so much to offer. So if they can plan, you know, a day after or a day before to explore the sites, I think that is just some very high level tips on some things they can do.
Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to piggyback a little bit on what Letty said. I think, you know, D.C. is a unique city. It's you know, a fun city. It's a great city to explore. It's a city of neighborhoods, so I don't know if folks have already made their hotel reservations or not, but if you went onto the website and looked at the hotel area, it will tell you what neighborhood your hotel is in, and from there you can kind of drill down on what's around in those neighborhoods and kind of get the feel for the personality for each of those neighborhoods. You know, there's different restaurants and sites and unique places to see and visit in each of those areas. I think everybody, of course, is hopefully familiar with the National Mall and all of the museums and places to go. And the best part about that is most of those places are free, so you don't really need to spend a lot of money to, you know, see the monuments or go into any of those amazing museums that the city has to offer. I think one of the things, you know, that we're looking for, looking towards and helping folks just navigate the entire conference. There are, you know, obviously lots of ways to get to D.C. And a variety of ways to get around D.C. So, you know, we are utilizing the metro and shuttle buses, and, of course, there's hotels within walking distance. One thing that we're doing new this year that we're really excited about is we are actually offering registration at National Airport. So if you're flying into National airport on Saturday or Sunday, you will be able to pick up your registration credentials in the baggage claim terminals for Terminal A and Terminal BC. And you know, those are just a few things that we're, you know, trying to do to kind of get people, you know, the materials that they need quickly so that they can go out and enjoy the city and not be standing in line in the middle of a convention center.
Yeah, the what I was going to say earlier, the last time National was in Washington, I think was like in maybe 2008, 2007,
six.
Like that. It's been a while.
2006.
Six. And,
and it rained the entire time.
It did. And the other thing that's funny is Uber didn't exist then, right?
Right, correct.
So lots of things. Like from the other side, as an attendee, I guess what I would say, having been to a number of these shows, obviously, and there's a lot of bloggers who write these kind of posts. I haven't written mine yet, but, you know, lists would include, since it rained the last time, you know, bring a small umbrella. Because I got wet and dry more times than I can count the last time I was in D.C.
Sure.
You got to bring comfortable shoes.
Absolutely.
If you don't use Uber, sign up for Uber. But the great thing about D.C. is it's a walking town, and there are. I was just there twice in the last month. There are also plenty of cabs, and all the cabs in the city happily accept credit cards, or at least all the ones I ran across, which isn't true necessarily in some other cities. So that the transportation is very easy, but you want to make sure that especially if you're heading to the conference center from out of town into a like an outer circle hotel into town, you got to have all your stuff with you. And if you bring your laptop and a bunch of other things, you're going to be pretty sore at the end of the day. So try to plan carefully, as both Jenny and Jennifer and Letty said. And there's also a great the website has a ton of information. You guys want to kind of make sure that you mention where people can go for the conference, and you mentioned the session planner. That's just at SHRM.org, right?
It's annual .SHRM.org. Yes. So if they go onto the annual conference website and scroll, you'll see it'll say session planner, and that's where they can plan their schedule. But there's also information, there's tons of information on that website. That's where they can also access the conference community as well.
The bloggers and many others. Yeah, no, and I've also liked something else you guys have been doing, and I don't know if this is like, I don't think it's mainstream to everybody, but several times a week in my mailbox, I think it's off a LinkedIn group. There's a lot of connections being made that way through SHRM groups and other things where people are, as you said, are soliciting lunch partners or, you know, morning yoga or just, you know, grabbing a beer at their hotel or whatever. So a lot of different ways to network at SHRM. I guess the scary part is for me used to be that 15,000 people, and especially if you're a first time attender. You're in a sea of people, but sometimes you feel like you're all alone. What do you guys do to help people like that? Is there an orientation or any other kind of offerings that people might want to look at?
Yes, so we do actually have a conference orientation on Sunday morning. It's 11 o'clock, and actually I and one of my colleagues, Jeannie Morris, will be doing the conference orientation this year. And so it is a great resource, especially, I mean, even for veterans, but mostly, like you said, Mike, for first-time attendees, just to sort of hit the high level, here's where you go for this, this is where you go for that. And we do, you know, also provide some tips during that orientation. For example, you know, a lot of our keynoters will be doing book signings. And so one of the tips that we tell people is if there's somebody that you really want to get a book signed, buy it before their session so that you can bypass the store and get right into the line right away to get your book signed. Because those lines can be very, 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 very long. So, but yes, orientation is definitely something I would recommend for first time attendees.
And the way the show is laid out, right, it starts on Sunday, and it runs through Wednesday, correct?
Correct.
And so, like, if you're heading, and I know this is all on the website, but just, like, if you're rolling into town into D.C., on Sunday morning. What time, what time does stuff really, you know, there's a lot of activity around by SHRM boards and panels and all kinds of other things, pre-conference workshops. But what time does the real Sunday stuff kick off, and, you know, and what's going on that first day that people might want to know about?
So really things do sort of unofficially kick off on Sunday morning, really with the conference orientation. That is really the first program, if you will, that is open to everyone. And then after the orientation, we have Sunday sessions from 12:30 to 2. Those are part of conference orientation, and we're doing quite a few this year, actually. All those are listed on the website, and if we do ask that attendees sign up for those ahead of time. So if people haven't signed up for them and they want to, all they need to do is contact member care and just let them know what session they want to sign up for. There's not an additional fee involved for the Sunday sessions. And so we also have the smart...
These are extra speaker sessions?
I'm not sure what you mean by extra speaker sessions. These are sessions that are on Sunday.
Yeah, are those HR general session topics, or are those specific to like attending the conference? That's what I wasn't clear on.
Oh, no. They're general topics. Like some of them are covering leadership, where we have one actually covering the new FLSA regs. We've got a lot of different topics covered.
Okay, so it's a way to grab some extra credits or learn something.
Exactly.
You know, early on. Got it. And then who's the opening keynote on Sunday?
So on Sunday, we actually have two speakers. We were fortunate enough to get Alan Mullally, who is the former CEO of Ford. And Alan is, you know, we actually had a call with him not too long ago, and I got to tell you, he is in the minority as far as CEOs who understand the value that HR and people bring to the organization. I mean, this is a huge global brand, and he really, he just gets it. And I think that our members are going to love hearing what he has to say. So he's going to be speaking, he's going to be doing a short keynote by himself, and then we have Mike Rowe joining us. And Mike, as many people probably know, is the host of Dirty Jobs. And so Mike actually was a spokesperson for Ford, which is why we brought these two gentlemen together, because they know each other very well. Ford was the sponsor of Dirty Jobs, so that they have this relationship. And they're really going to be talking about, like I said, Alan's going to be talking about the value that HR brings to an organization, and then Mike's bringing a little different perspective as far as all the work that he does with his foundation on workforce planning. But both of them really get the value of people and giving them the resources and the opportunities to better themselves, to be the best that they can be for their organizations.
And then, following the keynotes, we have, of course, you know, the exhibit hall opens, and there's quite a large reception, and that's always just a fun event. And, you know, this year, which we haven't really done before, we're having a one-day price for Sunday only. So if there are folks who, you know, may not be able to take time off work but still want to attend and get a taste of the conference, that Sunday offers quite a fulfilling experience for those folks. And so they could purchase a one-day registration for Sunday.
Right. That's kind of cool. I have never done it that way, but of course I've never lived in a town, I guess, where SHRM came, except for Atlanta, and I lived kind of a couple hours away. So you mentioned the exhibit hall and the Sunday night. I mean, that's open all through the show, but Sunday night is often the really big, where there's a lot of stuff going on. People give away drinks, they have entertainment at some of the booths, and they give away all kinds of swag and useful little products. What kind of tips would you give for people there, and how do you negotiate that the exhibit hall in the best way? Because it's gigantic.
You're right, it is gigantic. So one of the things that I would say is kind of what I was talking about earlier with the sessions is really have a plan. you know, one of the things that we're actually going to be announcing within the next week or so, that the app is going to be available for download, and you can use the app to actually look at all the exhibitors that are going to be in the exposition and really decide and plan who are the ones that you really want to see. There's going to be a map in the app as well. Hey, I'm doing a little rhyme here. There's a map that will actually help people figure out where the exhibitors are that they want to target in the hall. But to your point, you know, not coming in with a plan of either products that they want to see or companies that they specifically want to visit, it can be extremely overwhelming. But, you know, there's so many great companies and vendors that are going to be there. It is such a huge opportunity for HR professionals to be able to talk to so many different companies and vendors in one place that it's definitely something that they want to take advantage of.
Yeah, and I would say as a practitioner, you see this massive rush for swag and gifts and stuff, people trying to get their badges stamped so they can win a prize, which is all good. But you actually lose a lot of the exhibit hall experience if you don't take the time to talk. I mean, a lot of people are just there to collect your information, and you will get calls later. So bear that in mind. But there are really many of the people there are very knowledgeable, share a lot of information, and you can develop a lot of contacts that become useful back in the workplace, you know, months afterwards. It's not just a call list or a sell opportunity, but you have to manage your time and who you interact with very wisely, I think. I'm gonna kind of go away from the exhibit hall here. We mentioned this, the Tuesday keynotes, and we mentioned, I think, and that was Bogalla and company,
Carlson.
And then Carlson. Sorry, yeah. And then on Sunday. So who's on Monday? We might as well give all the keynotes their little moment.
Sure. So Monday, I'm so excited for this one. Monday we have Amy Cuddy, and Amy is a professor at Harvard. And so Amy actually has probably one of the top three TED Talks of all times, with over, I think, 30 million people watching. But what Amy talks about and is really cool and is applicable to anybody at any time, at any point in their career. And really what she talks about is a couple things. She talks about body language and she talks about presence. And so really helping you become a better communicator and a better leader by these simple tweaks in our mannerisms and how we present ourselves. So I think she is going to be fascinating, and we were very lucky to get her. So I think our attendees are going to be absolutely blown away by her session.
Would you say she's going to be our speaker?
Yeah. I think you guys did a great job this year. Most years, there's usually one where I'm kind of like, meh. You know, that'll be a good time to go in the blog, you know, write a blog or something. And this year, actually, all the speakers, I'm looking forward to hearing, including Amy. So I think that this is one of the better lineups in the last few years, at least from my point of view. So that was well done. What about other speakers? I mean, there's so many, including
I know there's so many.
We know through this show that are presenting, but, you know, we can't give everybody a shout out, but who else are you particularly excited about for speakers this year?
Well, there are quite a few. First, let me mention our last keynote speaker that we didn't talk about, and that's Saul Kahn. That's all right. I mentioned him because I actually had an opportunity to hear him speak at the end of last year. And I was just blown away by him. I mean, it's so interesting, and I don't want to steal, obviously, his thunder, but just really quickly, you know, one of the things he talks about was how Khan Academy got started. And it started literally with him in his kitchen making videos for his niece and nephew, teaching them how to do different things or teaching them how to, you know, solve a problem because he wasn't in the same room as them. And so it's a really interesting story. And, you know, we talk, our theme this year is breakthrough, and everything that Saul has done really has turned the education world on its head, you know, really making sure that education is free and accessible. And you know, a time when we talk about the skills gap and we talk about the need for people to be able to better themselves and have access to information to get the skills that they need. I mean, what he's talking about is just so, I think, so fascinating and applicable, again, not just to the people in the audience, but to their families as well. And so I, again, we were really lucky to get him, and I think he is, I think attendees are really going to enjoy him. He is a funny man, too. He is, I really enjoyed hearing him speak. He's quite brilliant and quite personable, so I think people will really like to hear how he ends the conference. So just to answer your question, there are a lot of other speakers that I could probably talk 2 hours on all the speakers that we have at the conference, but I'll just highlight our master series, because I think our master series are, you know, one of the hallmarks of the program that we have at the annual conference, and we're fortunate enough to have three really great speakers this year. So we have Sheila Heen, who's going to be talking about thanks for the feedback. And again, I think this is a topic that probably is near and dear to everyone's heart who manages people. And so I think her topic is going to be extremely popular. We also have Andy Boynton and Pandit Dasa. So I just, those three speakers are three individuals that I would highly recommend people check out and go see. They're longer sessions, they're 2 hours, one's just a little bit shorter than that, but really that longer time gives them the opportunity to dive a little bit deeper into their particular topic. So again, I would definitely recommend those three speakers. You know, we've got some tried and true people that come back every year that hit it out of the park consistently for us. And bring back different topics. So I want to give a shout out to Steve Gilliland, because Steve is somebody who is so supportive of SHRM and everything that we do, and loves coming to this conference and speaking to our attendees. So he's another one that if people haven't had the opportunity to go see, I would definitely go and see him.
Great. You know, we should go back for a minute. Some of these sessions, so like tips for people, and especially, again, first-timers, like if there's somebody you really want to see, you might want to not only know where it is, but you might want to get there ahead of time, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want to go in the last, because a lot of the sessions, they aren't necessarily sold out, but many of them turn into standing room only.
Yeah, so that's a great tip to give to not just, you know, first-timers, but veterans. You know, one of the things that a question that we hear a lot, I mean, and especially we've seen it on the conference community, is do I need to sign up for sessions? And we do not have attendees sign up for sessions. It is a first-come, first-served basis. So to your point, Mike, one of the recommendations that we tell people, if there's a session that you absolutely do not want to miss, make sure you get there early and get a seat. The other thing that we tell people is to pick a first, second, and third choice at each time frame, just in case your first choice is full. That gives you an opportunity to know, okay, now I want to go see this, so you have a plan in place so that you can get to your second choice rather quickly. The other thing, a couple things that we're doing that I think are kind of cool and give the opportunities for attendees to see sessions that might be full. We have expanded the overflow, and this is something that every session has the capability of being overflowed, the audio and the PowerPoint slide. So if someone can't get into a session, we actually have designated rooms that we can actually stream the content so people can still hear the sessions. And we're also repeating a lot more sessions this year as well. So we're hoping that actually doesn't happen, because we're planning to be able to stream sessions that might get full.
Okay. You also have the schedule, and I didn't really review it, but you break the schedule up into tracks, right? So there are,
correct,
there's like five or six groupings.
Yep.
Depending on topical interest, people can kind of plan their way. That's a good place to start, especially if you're concerned with recruiting or labor law. You can kind of follow up the path through the schedule in that way. Are there any other like planning tips? I guess this show is actually going, we had scheduled an hour and I thought we would do 45 minutes and we've already gone 35 minutes. So there's a lot to talk about. What other tips would you add just around the sessions and that kind of stuff before we move on to the kind of the next question?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, there's a couple ways that, you know, attendees can look at it. For, as you mentioned, they can look at it by track. If there are certain competencies they're looking for, you know, one of the things that we do with all of the sessions is we tie them back to our competency model. So if there were particular mm-hmm. areas that people were interested in, if they wanted to concentrate on communication, for example, you can search by competency type on the session planner. So that's an option as well. The other thing, I mean, I think, you know, really looking at what are your challenges that you have at work? What are the things that you want to learn, you want to have solutions for by attending the conference, and sort of articulating and writing those out, and then taking that list and looking at the conference program and figuring out, okay, what sessions can answer these questions that I have challenges for, I think is sort of a good way to look at. That way you're hitting the topics and the contents that are going to fit the areas where you're having the biggest challenges or need help finding solutions for.
Okay. And I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, it might be inconvenient and it might be a little rude, but if you get in a session and it's not what you thought it was, or it's just not as relevant as you'd hoped, you know, you are allowed to get up and move to another room.
Oh,
as long
absolutely.
As you're not
absolutely
care for that session or anything. Although the other session could be sold out, but that's another story, right?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly don't want people to feel like they're, you know, they're tied into hearing a session. I mean, it happens, as you said. I mean, sometimes what you think the speaker is going to talk about is not what you are anticipating. So don't feel like you have to stay in that room. Absolutely, get up. And people come in late, they leave early. You know, we know that people have a lot of things going on. They're still conducting business. They're still having to answer emails and phone calls. So it happens, and our speakers are actually well aware of it as well. We let them know ahead of time that could be happening, but that's totally fine.
Yep. Are there any, I mean, we've kind of talked around this a bit, but is there anything new or, you know, kind of cutting edge that SHRM is doing a little differently this year, whether because you're in D.C. or just to bring a new element to the show?
I mean, I think we're doing a couple of new things this year. I mean, I think that we're, you know, we've expanded, you know, the Smart Stage is something that has been very successful for us, and that's really doing some, I think, some really pretty cool topics at the Smart Stage. We're using some bloggers during the Smart Stage as well. I think, you know, from a logistics standpoint, you know, I talked about we've expanded the overflow. I think that's something that is
right.
continues to be a little bit, you know, continues to be innovative and new every year. I think what we're doing with registration at the airport is definitely something that's new and
yeah.
cool. And then, as Jen mentioned earlier, I think one of the best things about being in D.C. is the fact that every single staff person from SHRM is going to be able to come and attend the conference at some point during the show.
What is the Smart Stage for those that may not have experienced it? Can you just give a little thumbnail of that?
Sure. So the Smart Stage is actually taking place right across from where conference registration is. So it's actually in the convention center. And what the Smart Stage is are really bite-sized sessions of 18 minutes each. And so the sessions are actually grouped into themes. So, for example, you might have three sessions that touch on talent management, three sessions that focus on leadership, and they're offered Sunday through Wednesday. On Sunday, the sessions really are more about how to get around the conference and make the most of your experience. So, for example, we have a session on how to use Twitter. You know, this conference is huge socially, so I'm going to put a plug
yes.
in for people out there to use the conference hashtag SHRM16 whenever you're tweeting or Instagramming or doing anything on social to include that hashtag, because we have trended in the past, and we have every anticipation of doing that again this year. So I would encourage people to do that. And it's a great, I mean, I speak from personal experience. When I first went on Twitter, it took me like 5 minutes to type one tweet. And so it can be really overwhelming to people. So we have a session that really helps take the mystique and the stress out of using Twitter, how to make the most of your connections at the conference, how to use the app. So on Sunday, really, it's more tactical information about how to get, you know, from point A to point B. And then Monday through Wednesday, we really get into content. But again, 18-minute sessions going out throughout the entire day after the general sessions, all day Monday and Tuesday, and then Tuesday morning as well, or Wednesday morning as well.
Cool. Wednesday morning. So all through the conference. And honestly, that's a smaller, it's out in public, but it's a smaller, more sort of intimate experience. It's kind of like going into a small lecture hall in college instead of the big general session with your professor. You get a lot more interaction, and you can talk to the speakers in an easier way. So it's a cool event. Let's see, what else? Smart Stage, blah, blah, blah. Okay. We're actually 40 minutes, so I've got like one more serious question, and then I want to do a couple quick hit things, and then we'll wrap up. So the last question is with and we've touched on this a little bit already, but with it being in Sherm's home base in D.C. And during a presidential election year, what should people be, you know, go to the Capitol Mall. Go to the Smithsonian. Those are all, you know, what else is there as locals or whatever? What do you recommend that people really try to do? I did the zoo last time I was there, and even in the rain, the National Zoo is amazing, for instance.
But I think one of the things that I like to do when I travel to a new city, and most cities have these, are the kind of hop-on, hop-off bus tours. I mean, it really gives you a great overview of the city. You can pick it up at Union Station. It will go to all the monuments. You can drive around and get those great pictures that everybody's looking for. You can hop off and go and see some key monuments. You know, a personal favorite is the Jefferson. I love it. It's right there by the Tidal Basin. And again, just going back to understanding maybe where your hotel is, what kind of neighborhood it's in, you can really drill down and find things that are maybe close to your, you know, temporary home that are really exciting and fun to see. I know on the conference community, we've got some folks who are actually going up to Baltimore for an Orioles game. Fortunately, the Nationals are not in town during the conference. Otherwise, I would definitely send folks there. You know, just strolling along the mall. We've got a lot of folks who are doing running. All those kinds of things are great ways to connect with people, especially if you're a solo traveler. One of the things that we like to do, you know, with those folks in mind or people who might be first-timers is we have a meet-to-eat program. So when you're at the convention center, you can go to the meet-to-eat booth, and really it's just we make restaurant reservations at, you know, some great restaurants throughout the city. People can sign up. And, you know, end up going with a party of 10 to a particular restaurant. I mean, everybody pays their own way. But it's just, you know, like-minded folks who want to share a good meal, maybe not just be stuck in their hotel room. But, again, great way to connect and network with folks and enjoy the city.
Okay. Real quick questions. Best favorite place to eat breakfast or lunch in Washington, D.C.? Each of you just give one.
There's so many.
I think you got to go to Ben's Chili Bowl. It's just a great kind of a dive place. It's hot dogs, chili, that kind of stuff. It's a bit of a dive, but those are usually the best places. Also, I'd say in a lot of those museums in the Smithsonian, they will have restaurants like in those buildings, and those are always kind of fun and different.
Cool.
Eastern Market definitely is a great location. It's up past Capitol Hill. That's fun. They do kind of like a outdoor market, and they have great food stalls. And actually, we've got a bit of a food truck place going on. If you're kind of staying on downtown in the central, like near the Marriott Metro Center, there's a lot of food trucks that hang out there during the week. Those have become increasingly popular. There's a lot of great food to be found in this city, and certainly within walking distance from the convention center.
I mean, that's one of the things I have to say about D.C. is it depends what you're in the mood for. I mean, we have got great Thai restaurants, great Indian restaurants. I mean, you name a cuisine, we have a really good restaurant that's here. So it will satisfy any craving anyone has. I mean, I could probably, again, spend an hour talking about all the awesome restaurants that we have here, so I can't name just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have, you know, lots of chains and lots of expensive places, but if you look around, you can find some pretty cool places that aren't necessarily, you know, going to break your travel budget either. So it's a
Oh, absolutely.
Great, it's a great,
Well, so, people are looking for a cheap, awesome hamburger. Tell them to go to Shake Shack.
Yeah, Shake Shack definitely. They have awesome milkshakes. Yeah. It's right by the Spy Museum. You can walk to it.
There's a lot of cool coffee shops, local coffee shops as well. What is the one? Is it Poets and Bus Boys or something like that? Bus Boys and Poets. Yeah, it's always a very interesting place to people watch and visit. So don't miss those parts.
They have good brunch too, by the way.
Do they? I've only like gone in and kind of hung out. So we're right at 45 minutes. So I guess I'm gonna see if there's any last thoughts, anything you want to share with folks, like one more tip or one more, you know, anything special?
I would just say, after you've got your plan in place, you've picked out your sessions and the exhibitors that you want to see, I would just pace yourself. I think a lot of people, you know, feel very rushed around to get everything in, and I think you have to be mindful of your whole experience. So, drink water, get plenty of sleep, pace yourself. We're actually going to have kind of a quiet space tucked away in the center where we're going to have some SHRM-focused adult coloring and, you know, quiet crossword puzzles and that kind of place, just a quiet place, you know, cell phone-free zone where people could recharge while they're on site if they can't make it back to their hotel, you know, if they're staying in one of the outliers. And I would also take time to just walk outside for a little bit, if you can.
Agreed. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the tip that I would give to attendees is to make the most of their time at the conference. And what I mean by that is take the time to make connections with other attendees and talk to them. Ask them, you know, I know sometimes striking up a conversation can be very awkward for people. They can ask them, you know, who their favorite speaker that they've seen, who are they forward looking to see the most or hear the most. What restaurant did they go to last night that they would recommend? Just something to strike up a conversation, because, Mike, you even mentioned this earlier when you were talking about the exhibitors, but making these connections is something that people can go back when they have challenges at their workplace and reach back to these other HR practitioners that they've met at the conference to serve as a resource and a sounding board to them. So, I mean, they are literally going to be there with 15,000 like-minded HR professionals, and this is, you know, we want them to take an opportunity to really meet other people and expand their professional networks to help them do their jobs even better.
Totally agree. My tip was going to be just kind of a practical thing. SHRM runs buses from most of the hotels, and the bus service is great. It can get busy, especially at the starting and ending times. And when you're in DC, check. If the buses are backed up, or even if you just want to get around on off times, be sure to check the Metro and think about buying a several days long Metro card, because a lot of times you can bypass those long lines and get where you want to go by traveling like a local. So DC offers, you know, some of that kind of stuff that a few other cities like Atlanta maybe didn't. So bear that in mind. I want to thank you guys for coming on Drive Through. And we almost went an hour, so that was unexpected. But I think the tips were great. Letty, I think you're on. I know you're on Twitter. Is it at SHRM Letty? Is that right? Or
yes, that is correct. Yep.
Okay. And Jennifer, are you on Twitter?
I am. It's more of a general conference account, so it's at SHRM Conferences. At SHRM
Cool. Yeah, so if anybody wants to hit you up privately for something, they could try that, although that's probably not the best. All right, I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. I'm going to play a little bit of music. I hope the rest of your afternoon is good. And this is Mike Vandervoort on Drive Through, ending the show that aired on April 27th with SHRM. Thanks, you guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Mike.